Hi, everyone.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to Wicked, Weird, and Grim, your number one podcast for a trip through the history of the odd, haunting, and mystifying. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Ara. Together, we're the Grimm sisters.
Today, in honor of fall starting on the day that we release this, which is September 22nd, we'll be talking about harvest season, festivals, and folklore around the world. We'll kind of talk a bit more about the Slavic harvest demons that Ara mentioned in our Olga of Kiev episode. A few of you have requested to hear more about that, so we thought we would give in.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm also a little bit scared because I feel like I'm dredging up all these horror stories from my childhood. We'll start with some of the most well-known harvest festivals to fall.
Fall.
We'll start with some of the most well-known harvest festivals to fall on this day.
On this fall day. Most harvest festivals are celebrated on and around the autumn equinox, which usually starts from September 20th through the 23rd in the Northern Hemisphere. This is the time when day and night are of equal length, although generally the nights are growing steadily longer with the approach of winter. In the Southern Hemisphere, it falls around March 20th or 23rd.
And in pagan tradition, Mabon is a harvest festival that is quite similar to Thanksgiving, and it's often called the Witch's Thanksgiving. And it celebrates the second harvest of the season after Lammas and prepares for the third and final harvest on Samhain. The trees and bushes are laden with nuts and fruits, and in vegetable patches, the root vegetables are ready for gathering. So that means it's time for the final feast before the long famine of winter approaches.
Related holidays across different cultures and communities include Harvest Home or Harvest Tide in Midwest America, the Feast of the Ingathering or Sukkot in Jewish tradition, Feast of Avalon from Arthurian tradition, or Gwylcnol Hwdrych in Wales. In Druid traditions, Mian Forvesh or Alban Elved is a time of balance between the light and the dark. Many Alshathru groups honor the fall equinox as Winter Nights, a festival sacred to Freyr, Norse god of peace, fertility, rain, sunshine, and good harvest.
And harvest festivals and their appreciation have existed, honestly, just as long as humans have. It's been a tradition for forever. In ancient Greece, they had Ashalphoria, which is a festival held in the fall to celebrate the harvesting of grapes for wine. And it was associated with Dionysus and revelry and was just a time for good fun and good drinking. And then in the 1700s, accordingly, another drinking holiday, the Bavarians came up with Oktoberfest, which actually begins in the last week of September. And it's a time, again, of great feasting, merriment, and drinking. And it's obviously still in existence today. China has its mid-autumn festival on the night of the harvest moon, and it's therefore known as the Moon Festival or the Mooncake Festival. And it's a festival for honoring family unity.
In fact, Thanksgiving in the United States used to fall on October 3rd, which actually makes a lot more sense agriculturally than in the last week of November, because in the last week of November, there's not really much left to harvest. If you live in a place where you actually have seasons, then you know that by Thanksgiving, it's cold. It's cold. There's like no leaves on the trees. Everything is already like gloomy.
There's not much there.
Yeah. The Wampanoag, which are the indigenous peoples of the area now known as Plymouth and the surrounding areas of New England, partake in several harvest celebrations that give thanks to the Creator and express gratitude to be part of a daily life. The English colonists are reported to have seen this in the 1600s and appropriated the tradition, transposing what is now known as the American holiday of Thanksgiving.
And the idea of harvest itself actually stems from myths and folklore explaining the change of seasons. As an example, there's the ancient Greco-Roman tale of the origin of winter that hinges on the goddess of spring, Persephone or Proserpina, returning to her husband, the god of the underworld, Hades or Pluto, at the end of summer for the next 6 months. Her mother, Demeter or Ceres, is so depressed at the thought of losing her daughter again that she plunges the world into infertility, what we now know as fall and winter.
The Hopi people have a similar tale to that of Persephone about the corn maidens, beautiful women who brought corn to their lands. The most beautiful and beloved was the blue corn maiden, who brought delicious blue corn to the people throughout the year. One day during winter, the blue corn maiden came across the winter Katsina, the personification of winter. He fell in love with her immediately and invited her back to his home. Powerless to say no, blue corn maiden soon became his prisoner when he blocked his door and windows with snow. One day, Blue Corn Maiden dug her way out through the snow and found materials to light a fire. When the snow melted, the summer Katsina arrived to save her, Angry, the winter Katsina arrived to fight the summer Katsina, only to realize that the two of them simply needed to talk it over. Communication will save a relationship every time.
I just had to put that in there.
It's really true, though. Soon a deal was struck. For one half of the year, the blue corn maiden would live with the winter Katsina, depriving the people of corn. For the second half of the year, she would live with the summer Katsina, and the corn would grow again. Soon the people began to look to the blue corn maiden as a sign of springtime. However, if you've ever experienced those days in March when it seems as though spring is on the way, only to have to put up with a snowstorm the next day, that's because the winter Katsina is not happy to have to give up the blue corn maiden, and he's throwing a bit of a fit.
Which, if you live in North Carolina like us, you'll be very familiar with.
Seriously, like the amount of times, like we'll go the whole winter with like no snow or anything, and then on March 1st it'll snow.
Oh, a tornado. Oh,
yeah.
A hurricane. It's so weird.
It's so weird. And then it'll be like 80 degrees for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Modern pagan and Wiccan ideas associate this time of winter with the crone aspect of the triple goddess, the maiden, the mother, and the crone. The crone bears a sickle and scythe, unlike the maiden's basket of flowers, because the crone has come to reap what has been sown.
And like I previously mentioned in our Olga episode, the sickle and the scythe has become associated with death and the grim reaper, because it just represents cutting the last bits of crop from the earth at the onslaught of death and the famine of winter. And so, you know, the cryptids, these creatures, monsters, daemons associated with harvest, especially, you know, in my own experience with a lot of different Slavic tales, they're endlessly terrifying in relation to this because it's not just the onslaught of winter, it's death itself. And it starts to get really creepy.
This first creature is reminiscent of the children of the corn, to be really honest, really concerning to me. They are called Feldheister and are corn spirits from German folklore that can take form as animals or even humans. Interacting with them can cause illness, but the last heads of grains and fruits like apples were often left in the fields as a sacrifice or to appeal to the spirits. They can be killed by cutting the heads of grains, threshing the corn, or if corn husks are shaped into a corn doll for ceremonial purposes. Please do not make a corn doll. That is so creepy. I'm not a fan of it.
Let's not mention that the fact that, like, in tons of pagan and traditional spiritualist circles, corn dolls are really common.
No. I don't like dolls.
Similar to these creatures are the Polvik in Slavic folklore. And they essentially look like a really rugged dwarf with this really dark, earthy skin and grass for hair.
He's kind of cute in the picture.
He's terrifying. I don't know why. I mean, that's cute.
He's scary. Like, if I saw it, I would die on the spot. But in the picture, he's kind of cute. I just think he's like a big cat thing. He's like walking through the corn. I was like, no.
I'm just like, nope. Adding to the cuteness Caroline sees, it's sometimes claimed their feet are cloven like those of goats.
Oh, never mind. He's not that cute anymore.
Yeah, exactly. When they're happy, Polvik kill birds or cause travelers and even those familiar in the fields to be confused. And so when they're not happy, which is far more common, you can imagine just how violent and dangerous they actually are.
That reminds me of the hungry grass.
Yeah, we were talking about that. And it reminded
I knew we
me
talked
these.
About that at some point, but I forgot why.
It reminded
but
me of the Polvik because one of their favorite things is to make people who are familiar with fields or like meadows and stuff is confused. And they just delight in it.
If you don't know what the hungry grass is, it's basically this Irish sort of myth or legend where people will be walking in a field and they'll know exactly where they're going. They've been there before. And the next thing they know, they cannot figure out how to get out of this field. It just seems to go on and on and on forever. Sometimes they'll actually see the way out and won't be able to get to it. And they're overcome with this feeling of starvation. And it's just really crippling and horrible. And it supposedly is kind of like brought on by the ghosts of the potato famine.
And it's also mentioned that like hungry grass develops in an area that's near what's called an unshriven corpse, which is essentially a corpse that hasn't had last rites. So they haven't confessed their sins or like been absolved
of them. Oh, interesting. Yeah. So maybe, which I guess that would have happened a lot during the famine,
yeah,
right?
Because,
I mean,
like,
there'd be people falling down
so
dead.
Often.
Yeah.
I think it's even more terrifying because it's more likely that these grass patches would show up all over the place because
yeah,
of that.
For real.
You're just like, please, can I please have some normal grass?
Yes. Makes me wonder too, though, if that phenomenon exists in other places where there are famines, where people have feelings like they're trapped in an environment like that where they can't get out and are feeling like hunger like that, and it's a ghost kind of thing. I wonder if it's elsewhere, if it's just Ireland. All right. Above all, Poldovec hate idlers and lazy field workers. And if someone is drunk or asleep in the fields, the Poldovec would actually strangle them to death. So don't do that. Better up that work ethic. Yeah. The Poldovec were most active at noon and dusk, so it was desirable to not be in the fields during those times.
And it's also said that the Poldovec don't disappear when they're harvested, unlike their German counterparts, the Feldheisters. The Poldovec actually turns into apparently what is a super small version of themselves, and they join the grain that's to be ground to cause disease amongst those who displeased him. And so he's actually symbolic of Urgot, which we discussed in the Salem Witch Trials episode. And just as a brief overview, Urgot is something that infects cereal crops, especially rye, and it causes hallucinogenic effects or ergotism. And unfortunately, rather than kill the toxicity, when you bake the grain, you actually strengthen the effects of the ergot. So he's a vicious little dude. Very scary.
He's not cute.
Take it back.
Yeah, I recant.
Okay, good.
In relation to this, another figure of harvest in both Slavic and German tradition is called the Rye Mother or Rye Grandmother. She is kind of like the Corn Mother of many different cultures, but the sinister and dark version of that. The Rye Mother is supposed to be the female embodiment of ergot poisoning and tainted harvests.
In Germanic lore, she's the crone goddess Frogenmutter, which, as mentioned, is translated to the Rye Mother. But in Slavic tradition, she is Rugia Boba, Zalishna Baba, Zhana Baba, Zhitni, and Zalishna Zhinka, the Iron Woman. She may even be related to Baba Yaga far back in folkloric history. And this is about to get a little bit weird and a little bit explicit, so hang in there.
Well,
poor Caroline has to read this. I'll read it for you if you don't
mind. No, we're good. We're good. Ergot may be associated with the witch-like figure of the Rye Mother by a number of factors. The words Baba means both the last sheaf of crop and witch. Manifesting as a sinister old crone, she hunts for children with her iron hook, and once captured, she will make them suckle upon her iron breasts. Why does she have iron breasts? That's so weird. That's the weirdest part to me.
I think it's because tainted grain from ergot tastes like irony.
Oh, that makes sense.
I think that's why they say that.
Yeah.
It's confusing to me because in a lot of folkloric traditions, iron drives away fae and supernatural creatures.
Oh.
But in this, it's she's literally opposite. Part of iron. So yeah. I'm like, okay.
Okay then.
All right.
Yet it is not white, wholesome milk that the children will drink, but black, ergotinous poison that will sicken, madden, and perhaps even kill them. Her hard, dark, poisonous nipples may be indicative of ergot and how ergotism can be transferred to a child if the mother's milk is infected. In this dark aspect, she is ergot itself, much like the Poldovec.
And the decrepit Rye Mother may be seen as a failure of fertility, both in the crop and in people, as ergotism can also cause infertility and miscarriage of fetuses. And it was actually sometimes even used deliberately in folk and traditional medicine for this purpose.
Just a shout out to say that if you ban abortion, people will still find a way.
Exactly.
Because they've always found a way.
Harvey agrees.
Yes, he does. Harvey is my cat, and we're at my house today instead of Ara's. So Harvey is part of the podcast.
He is.
Okay. Ergot and Rye were also associated with wolves, including amongst the many colloquial names for ergot are Roggenwulf, or the Rye Wolf, Wulfzahn, or the Wolf's Tooth, and Roggenhund, the Rye Dog. It may be a cruel coincidence that the harshest weather, where the poor may have had no choice but to eat tainted bread, were also the same conditions which may have forced starving wolves to enter the towns and villages and hunt their inhabitants.
An old Germanic saying states, "The werewolf sits amid the grain." I'd never heard of that before. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what it was really talking about, but yeah. I just had heard of this weird thing of werewolves in fields and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
Coupled with the hallucinatory effects of the ergot, it's possible to see how tales of werewolves may have evolved. Also, Rye has a supernatural association with wolves, and in some regions, the Rye Mother would be accompanied by a wolf.
It's even been suggested amongst scholars that the name of mythical Anglo-Saxon hero, Beowulf, translates as barley wolf. He is remembered for his battles against woeful, otherworldly monsters.
The last harvest demon we're discussing is one of my favorites, and it's one that a lot of you also took an interest in, because this is the one that many of you inquired about from our Olga episode. You guys sent in voice messages, and you asked, who is this midday harvest beauty that will cut your life tether and exemplify a heat stroke? Her name is Polodnitsa, also known as Polodnitsa, Prijpodudnika, Shedspodnitsa, Povednitse, Podnitsa, Shepodnitsa, and Pododiovska.
I would just like to congratulate Ara for saying all of those versions of that name, because I could not do it. And she speaks many of the languages this word comes from, and it's real hard, y'all.
It's like seven names right after the end. Yeah. And it looks like someone threw up like 100 consonants. So.
Yeah. And there was actually even another one that we had to just like edit out of the script, because Ara was like,
Serbian is not my go-to. Yeah, like, yeah. I need to up the Serbian game. Because
so if you are from Serbia and you are listening to this, we apologize, but we don't know how to say your words. So
I mean, when I looked it up, literally nothing came up on the internet.
Oh my gosh.
So either it's the wrong like version of the bastardized word. Version yeah. of it, or it doesn't recognize it not being in Serbian Cyrillic.
She is known as the Midday Spirit, or Lady Midday, and brought terror to field workers. Because of this strong affinity for fields and the fact that in some regions she manifests as an ugly old hag, there may be association between the Polodnitsa and the Rye Mother. However, she is also reported to assume the form of an adolescent girl with a whip whose lash will lead to a short life.
I love her. She's my fave. Anyways, more frequently she will appear as a tall, beautiful woman dressed in white. And it's usually a white cloak or a gown. And kind of opposing that beautiful image, she's brandishing a scythe, sickle, or shears. Her beauty is only skin deep often, because there's a cruel streak to her nature. Yet ironically, her presence in some regions is deemed healthy to the vitality of the crops themselves.
Polodnitsa deems that noontime is sacred to her to wander the fields. Should she venture upon a man who is not taking rest at midday, she will pull their hair and tickle or twist their necks. Oh, that escalated. Like, she'll just pull, tug at their hair a little bit and then tickle them and then... If they do not stop working there and then and return home, she may continue tickling them until they die or strike them down with madness. For this reason, she is considered the embodiment of sunstroke.
Yet in some regions, there are other bizarre and sinister tales told of the Polodnitsa. If the weather were stormy, she would sometimes suddenly appear in the peasants' cottages.
Oh.
The uncomfortable inhabitants would have to sit out the storm on their very best behavior, lest they offend their strange, uninvited guest. She may also appear in a sudden gust of wind or dust storm and kill anyone in her path, or approach people and ask them questions or riddles, and if their answers were not to her liking, she would inflict them with illness, misfortune, or insanity.
Okay, but you know what? So far, I feel like after this, I'm gonna be like less of a fan of her, but initially I really like her because she's really encouraging people just to like self-care.
She's the epitome of self-care.
She really is. But like I said, I think my opinion's about to change, because at other times she would either lure children to become lost in the grain fields or kidnap ones who have been left unattended at harvesting time. She would sometimes also kidnap women in childbirth and keep them captive for a whole year. She would assault women and children who were not at home by noon.
And in parts of Poland in particular, she's said to hunt down children and women with a pack of seven large dogs. And she was and often is still utilized in the words of parents to stop their children wandering in lonely places or in strong sunshine, or to keep them away from the valuable crops of the harvest, or if they were just generally being naughty. And I, myself, have often been threatened with this. Like, behave or the Polodnitsa will get you. And I actually have a tale about this.
Yay!
So this actually happened to a woman that was a really close friend of mine. She was, I think, 88 when I met her. And aww. She was in Princeton, New Jersey when I was attending school there. And her name is Eva. And she's such a kind-hearted spirit. And I love her so much. She passed away two years ago.
I'm so sorry.
A wonderful woman, and Eva, if you're listening to this, I love you. But she is just such a baba. She brought us in, and me and a couple other of my Polish friends, and she'd bring us tea, she'd bring us cake, she'd make, like, traditional food for us.
I love her.
It was so nice, and I just have to say, her pierogi were so good. So good. And she was just an amazing woman. And she would tell us all of these tales that come from Poland, like folk tales or things that she had experienced when she was younger, and just her experiences in life. And one of them was actually about Bohnica. And similar to how I mentioned earlier that peasants would sometimes find her in the middle of a storm in their house, and they'd have to, you know, ride out the storm with her. Apparently, one time when Eva was, I think, like an early teenager, she and her parents and her aunt and uncle and their cousins were at their country house. There's a horrible storm brewing and the sky was like black.
Oh my gosh.
Like the thunder was shaking the house. Everything was shaking. Things were falling off shelves. And so they're all huddled in this, like, the main foyer of the house. And, you know, they've taken all the delicates off the walls,
right,
all the tchotchkes, everything like that. And they're, you know, huddled together in the middle.
They're like, we're gonna die.
This is all happening. And Eva looks up from where she's huddled with her head on top of her knees. And she sees that there's someone sitting in the rocking chair across the room. And she's like, who is that? Because the rocking chair is facing away from her. And all she can see is this, like, kind of goldeny blonde hair.
Oh.
And so she thinks, at first she thinks it's her mother.
Mm-hmm.
But she looks over and her mother's over with her younger sister, consoling her because her younger sister is like a baby at the time. So she's like, is it my aunt? But her aunt has darker hair. So she's just sitting there staring at this figure in the rocking chair across the room. And she kind of looks over at her cousin, and her cousin is doing the same thing, but they don't say anything. They're just like the back and forth look when you're like,
what's going on? I'm so confused.
And so Eva finally turns to her mother and she's like, Mama, there's someone in the chair. And her mom's like, what are you talking about, Eva? And then she turns around and she sees there is, in fact, someone in the rocker. And so she goes, like, wide-eyed, slack-jawed, and she looks over at her husband, Eva's dad. And Eva was like, she just stuttered for a minute.
It's like, what's happening?
And then she was like, who is that? And her husband is like, I don't see anyone. The mom is like, stop playing around. There's someone sitting over there in the rocker. And Eva's dad, again, is like, there's no one sitting in the rocker. And so apparently, all of the girls can see someone sitting in the rocker, but Eva's father and the two cousins, who are boys, and the uncle cannot see
anyone
sitting in the rocker.
That's
so it's
weird.
Just the females.
Yeah.
And this was interesting to me because I was like, sometimes she appears as an old hag, sometimes she appears as this beautiful woman, sometimes she appears as, like, a young girl.
Yeah.
So it's like, I wonder if when she appears to women, it's like a more attractive, relatable figure. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
she looks like them. Maybe she looks like them.
There's this huge crack of lightning that actually ends up striking the house, right? A part of it is like blown off, right?
Yeah.
And so a bunch of mortar, stuff like that, is like falling or whatever. So like all this smoke, soot, all this stuff is in the air, right? And so the baby starts crying. The mom's trying to get it to calm down. Then the baby's choking because apparently something happened. I don't know. Being really long at telling the story,
but it's okay.
I'm trying to remember everything. So Eva looks over again at the rocker and she sees that the woman or whoever was in the rocker stood up.
Oh.
And so she's watching and the woman turns around and it is this lovely blonde haired woman who's wearing white and she looks very kind and everything like that. And the woman is staring directly at the baby that's in Eva's mother's arms. And the baby suddenly stops coughing, and the mom thinks, oh no, it's because her airway is closed and she can't breathe anymore. But in reality, the baby stopped coughing, and she was fine. She was giggling and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
And then when Eva and her mother look back up again, they see the woman smile, and then she just disappears.
What?
And after that, the storm kind of dissipated as well.
Oh, that's weird.
So they're like, okay, she, one, saved the baby's life. Two, possibly got rid of the storm.
Yeah, it's like she was there to protect
them. And then three,
them.
The whole time, the men didn't see anything.
That's so weird.
But they definitely noticed the change between when the baby was coughing and then suddenly it was fine.
It was totally normal.
Like, giggling and stuff like that. So Eva told us that story. And she had other stories that she had, but she was like, this is the one story that has stuck with me my entire life and I will not forget it until the day I die.
Wow.
And I honestly don't think I will forget it either.
Yeah, how could you forget that? It's
absolutely
crazy.
Absolutely horrifying.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if it is necessarily Bohnica, but it was a midday storm.
Yeah.
And she is known to do that.
Right.
Eva's mother wanted to believe it was like a saint or someone that had, like a saint that had stopped in or something. But Eva was like, pretty sure it wasn't a saint. So yeah, that's Eva's real life story of Bohodnica and her experience with her. And I found it really interesting, especially the part where the men couldn't see her.
Yeah.
So.
That's so interesting.
Because it seems that. Like it's more often that men do see her because they're the ones that had been working the fields.
Yeah.
During the day.
Yeah.
So it's like just interesting to me that happened. But yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my tale about that.
That's really cool.
Anyways, back to harvest festivals. As someone who celebrates Mabon, it's really fun to celebrate. It's very cozy, very inviting. Things associated with Mabon and harvest festivals in general include the colors orange, brown, gold, dark red, and yellow, and other dark autumnal colors, especially deep violet. Decorations include acorns, pomegranates, pine cones, fawn leaves, seed pods, though you should definitely save some for the wild, which will be nourished by these, such as squirrels.
Yeah. Make sure they have food eaters. Too. They have to eat.
And dried flower heads, corn stalks, gourds, cornucopia, pumpkins, and flint corn and autumn flowers. And I actually brought Caroline a fall harvest bundle today.
I'm so excited to like really look at it.
Fall violet roses. It also has pampas grass.
Yeah.
Then it has dried lavender, some dried wheat flour. I think there's a juniper or a cedar stick for smoke cleansing, and then incense and stuff like that. But I think fall and autumnal foliage is some of the prettiest, and so I really enjoy just creating tons of bouquets of them.
Yes, I love fall vibes, really. Just fall like vibes. Anything. Oh my gosh.
This whole episode is just fall vibes.
So harvest festival activities can include nature walks to collect dried plants and seed pods. The milkweed pod is great for a fairy dream pillow, which I don't know what that is, but Ara knows what it is.
It's this cute little pillow that you can make with like milkweed and stuff it inside. And it's like really tiny, but it's really cute. And it's supposedly for the good folk, and you can leave it when you need to sleep. You can also do like a bigger version of it.
I want one and I want to sleep on it. Yeah, sounds really cute. Other activities are, of course, hay rides, leaving apples at the gravesites of loved ones who have passed on. I really like that. Some people save this for Samhain, though. You can also dry out gourds to make rattles. Associated plants and scents include acorn, apple, myrrh, rose, sage, thistle, milkweed, pine, marigold, yarrow, rue, bittersweet, rose hips, sunflower, rosemary, and oak leaves.
We hope that whatever you choose to do to celebrate during this autumn equinox, that you and your families are safe, healthy, and well. For my mental health sake, please do not stray near cornfields or wheat fields during this time. If you're going to do a corn maze or something like that, please bring some type of protection and or...
Please don't make a corn doll. Those are creepy. Exactly.
Although that is a form of protection.
It is, but don't do it. Please don't do it. It's creepy.
Don't seek out the Polvik. Don't seek out the
Yeah, don't go looking for anything creepy.
You know, don't overexert yourself at midday or else Bohodnica.
Take care of yourselves.
Yeah. The epitome of self-care, our queen Bohodnica says, don't overexert yourselves at midday.
Yeah.
But yeah, regardless, we hope that you're safe, you're healthy, you're well. And we hope that going into this winter that hopefully COVID doesn't continue to rise because it's been going upwards as it's getting cooler. And I'm not having high hopes for this winter.
Me either. Please get vaccinated. Please wear a mask.
My dad just got his first vaccine.
Yay!
And he got it because both my mom and I got sick last weekend and we thought we had COVID. But then ended up we didn't. And so he promised he would.
Good.
And he got it. And I was like...
You're so excited.
Like, because he just really hates vaccines in general.
No, I understand, because I hate them. I hate needles. And so, actually, it was simply the fact that getting the vaccine gave me, like, freedom to go do things again and feel safe again that I was like, okay, I have to overcome this fear. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I'd ever gotten a vaccine or, like, shot or, like, blood drawn or anything. Like, anything with a needle probably in my entire life where I literally just sat there and let them do it instead of just being, like, really tense and upset.
You were like, this is freedom.
I know. I was just like, okay, please just do it. I hate this. Please just do it.
But it's so funny. So many people have said that. They've said that it's been so different getting the COVID vaccine versus others just because of the freedom that it affords them.
Right. But, you know, I'm really glad that obviously nothing about COVID is good. But I guess if there is a silver lining for me, it's that I got over needles. So I've been very lucky. Like, I've never had to have any kind of real like medical thing done. I've never had surgery. I've never had teeth pulled. I never had to have braces. I've never like broken a bone. I've never had stitches. Never had anything like that.
I know. Bragging.
But like, it also, I think, probably contributes to why I'm afraid, right? Because the longer you go without experiencing something, the scarier it gets in your mind. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Me at ghosts.
Yeah.
Come out of the woodwork, you fools.
For real, though.
Anyways. With that, we will do our wrap up.
Yeah.
You can find us on pretty much all social medias.
Yeah.
On Instagram and Facebook, we're at Wicked Weird and Grim. And on Twitter, we're just at Wicked Weird Grim.
Please, please, please subscribe to us on Apple and follow us on Spotify. Please leave us a really sweet review on Apple. Give us a wonderful 5-star rating. We would love to see that. You can also leave us a voice message on Anchor.
That's there's how we a voice got message. The request for this.
Yeah.
And as always, you can support us on Patreon and subscribe to one of our tiers. We will be releasing new content as it comes closer to Halloween and spooky season.
We're so excited.
Look out for that. And also, if you guys have any ideas on what we should do for our Halloween episode that's particularly spooky or wicked, weird, and grim, please drop us a note in one of our social medias or just leave us a voice message on Anchor. We'd love to hear from you. We're trying to figure it out as of right now. We're pre-planning, but... So, it's a national holiday, so we have to take it seriously.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, so it's the best thank day you year. For listening to us, guys. As always, appreciate it so much and your
we
support.
We do. Thank you, thank
and
you.
And we will see you next Wicked Weird Wednesday with the Grimm Sisters. Bye.
Bye.
Waves.
We waved. When I was a kid, I had my kindergarten graduation, and we put on this big performance. And one of the songs we sang during the performance was like, wave, wave, wave at the window, wave and give me a smile.
It's kind of creepy.
Well, and I always remember it was like a little kid seeing their parent like go off to work and like missing them during the day, you know, while they stay home with like mom. And then the version at the end is when the kid has to like go off to school and the mom and dad are like sad. And it made all the parents cry. And a lot of times people would be in the audience for, you know, one reason or another. Maybe they were a teacher or, you know, a friend of the family or whatever. And they would start crying. It wasn't even their kid. Because it was just really sweet.
Sad, sweet song.
Hopefully I don't like burp too much during this because I'm drinking a soda and have like that little tiny, tiny bit of heartburn.
Okay. Warning, this episode is full of burps and nauseous noises from Caroline because of her heartburn.
Sorry, guys. In fact, Thanksgiving in the United States used to actually fall on October 3rd.
What day is it?
It's October 3rd. I thought the same thing every time. Both, oh my like, gosh, every time it's October 3rd.
Mean Girls applies here. Come on, Ara.
Go. You can do it. I believe
you
in you.
This. I'm not taking it.
Come on, Ara. You can do it.
Fade away. Put your back
into it.
Okay.
It just wasn't coming.
Earlier today when I was researching how to pronounce some of the Welsh words in here.
Yeah. Oh, no.
It had that one Welsh place that's literally like, I don't know, it's one of the longest words in the world for a town. And this guy pronounced it like perfectly. And then that showed a Maori person who is like from New Zealand.
Yeah.
And she was pronouncing the longest name of their town in their language. And then she tried to pronounce the Welsh one and she failed. Someone commented and was like, now we need to have a Welsh person try to pronounce the Maori town.
Yeah, for real.
It was so funny.
Oh my gosh. My boss, he's been to Iceland a couple times and he has a shirt that has like that long, long word.
Oh,
one of those like crazy Icelandic words. And it's just all it says is whatever that word is. I have no idea what it is. It's huge. I mean, it literally is in like a tiny font. It goes like all the way across his chest. It's really funny.
Oh, yeah. It's the word that means it's like a key ring to a like a work shed for tools in an area of like a mountain in northern Iceland. I think. But I have no clue how to pronounce it. Like,
It just keeps going.
Good job, Ara.
Yeah, I don't
think that was a good job.
I think it was only a good job to me, probably not to anyone from Iceland.
Like Icelandic listeners come in and be
it's
like,
not even hard word.
Butchered our language.
And we're just like, okay, it's not our fault that you gave your words like 30 letters,
look,
okay?
I can speak some Icelandic. It's just those words I'm
that's
not,
a big
I'm
word.
A little bit off, okay? Like, jeez.
Oh, he's licking me.
He loves you, Ara.
I love you too, Harvey.
Aww.
I hope you don't have an ergotinous tongue.
I'm so sorry. I made you read the line, hard, dark, poisonous nipples. Never did we think we would be saying hard, dark, poisonous nipples
I mean, for
in
the
this
record,
podcast, but...
In our very first episode, we literally talked about a lady's fascination with a giant Bigfoot penis, so...
It's not far off the mark.
Hi, Harvey. I love you, baby.
You're such a good little kitty.
No, Harvey, no. Do not mess with the cords. Transfer. Oh my gosh, transfers. What am I saying?
I thought you were going to say transports. And I was like,
okay.
I was like, at this point, it's fine.
I hate Beowulf so much.
Really?
Yes. We had
hate
to.
Hate him or hate, like, the. Book or like
the book.
Okay.
We had to read Grendel in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, like hands down one of the worst books I've ever read.
I just find it alarmingly sexist.
Yeah.
And very
yeah.
I don't know. It's very polarized in its representations of male and female.
Also, we had to watch the Beowulf movie, which was like this weird animated
thing.
It's not really animated. I don't know. You kind of have to watch it. Angelina Jolie's in it.
What?
Yeah. But anyway, there's a whole thing where Beowulf, to fight Grendel or some monster, he takes all of his clothes off. And so we're all just sitting there, like, watching this animated dude run around naked with his, like, sword or whatever.
Ew, what the heck is this?
It's so weird. It's the worst
Someone
thing I've
said,
ever seen.
Angelina Jolie was too hot to be Grendel's mother in Beowulf. I agree.
For sure. She deserves better.
I find a lot of Beowulf just annoying. This dude's not even that smart.
I and just like, literally don't care at all about it. And just, you know.
Die.
Yeah.
Let the villains proceed.
Yeah.
Not our fave.
Not a good dude. We don't care for him. You can do it. I believe in you.
Przez potodnica. Nope. Przez potodnica. Nope.
I wish I could help
know.
You, but
this
I literally
Serbian.
Can't.
I don't know what it is.
Just take it out. It's fine.
Okay.
There's another word that I used to do that to, and then one day I had to spell it, and I was like,
This is not.
Wow, okay.
Are you with the entire looking, English language?
I've literally looked at that wrong my whole life.
Epitome.
I do that with that word,
that
too.
That word in English. We talked about that before.
Yes, we have. My mom said she saw this video the other day, and this man, he was dressed up as like a really exaggerated version of a woman in the South, and it was the first day of fall, and so he steps outside and he's just like, it's the first day of fall, I'm gonna wear my new fall outfit. And then throughout the day he just keeps doing these things and realizing that it's like extremely hot outside, because it's
like
extremely
degrees.
Hot outside still, and it will be for like another month,
which I hate.
I do too. And so, you know, he just keeps getting sweatier and sweatier. And as the day goes on, his clothes are, like, soaking wet. His makeup is...
Like
and the
accurate.
Whole time, he's just like, but it's the first day of fall, so I'm happy. And I'm just like, that's me until I actually step outside in the first day of fall and realize that it's only fall on the calendar. It's not fall in the air and
why
the weather.
It's like, off
I still have to wear shorts
the,
and tank tops.
The plaid blanket scarf. Next,
uh-huh.
The vest.
Yep.
And then you're left in your long sleeve shirt and your jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And you got your riding boots on, and then clothes come off, and then you're sometimes you wear a fall hat, that comes
no,
off.
Yeah.
Like at the end of it you're just like, okay, it's
I'm
summer,
gonna change clothes.
It's spicy summer.
It's spicy summer. The milkweed pod is a great. Wow.